Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about even a miracle doesn't stop our wanting. In our last talk, we were thinking of the children of Israel in the wilderness and how God gave them something to eat which was not according to their tastes and preferences. They wanted leeks, onions, garlic, watermelons, and fish, and God gave them something called manna, and they were hungry. God made them hungry on purpose. A woman who had divorced her third husband by the time she had reached her mid-20s has now become a Christian, describing herself as a very attractive and young-looking woman for 33. She wrote that she is struggling to give God her sexual desires after a lifetime of sexual activity. "I desire with my whole being to experience God's best and His intimacy. I'm tired of compromise. It never met my needs. My patterns are my enemy. The things the Lord impresses on me are, 1, put Him first, 2, be still and know that He is God, 3, progress, not perfection, 4, continually give my thoughts and desires to Him, 5, take time." I could add very little to what the Lord had already shown her. I pointed out that obedience to those 5 things would take her a long way, but the last line of her letter cried for an answer. "If only this would help me not to want so much. Will it, eventually?" My answer was yes, eventually. I can promise her that no one who trusts in God will be desolate. I can promise her that the more she drinks of the water Jesus gives, as opposed to all other kinds of thirst quenchers, the more she will find it satisfies the deepest desire. I can promise her that as she eats spiritual food, she will acquire an ever-increasing taste for the bread of life, which satisfies the deepest hunger. I can promise this because God promises it. The operative word is deepest. Because our physical and emotional hungers are so strong, we easily imagine them sometimes to be our deepest. But that's not necessarily true. Because when they are met, we find out that our deepest hungers are bottomless. But that's the one God promises to meet in His time. I've told you a little bit about how I fell madly in love with a young man on the campus of Wheaton College. His name was Jim Elliot, and I didn't think I had a chance with him, and then he told me that he thought maybe he was to stay single for the rest of his life. So I had some years of learning that indispensable lesson of Deuteronomy 8, learning to eat spiritual food. And as manna was a supernatural food miraculously provided and was all that the children of Israel needed, I saw that even a miracle did not stop their wanting leeks, onions, and garlic. So it isn't very likely that God is going to perform a miracle and take away your human and natural tastes and desires. Maybe He does that for some people. I don't recall that He's ever done that for me, and I'm not going to promise that He's going to do it for you. Sometimes the easiest way to go seems to be just go with your feelings. Well, I had another letter, one of those tragic ones, from somebody who tried that route. "Dear Elizabeth Elliot," she wrote, "I sure hope you can help me. I've been a Christian for 14 years, and I'm basically pretty old-fashioned. However, each year seems to get harder and harder to remain pure. What I want to tell you is something I can't and won't tell anyone else." She tells me how she met a non-Christian man that she found very attractive. He was a temptation and nothing more. And she writes, "I feel so stupid," and that word is in capitals, "so stupid to admit that I gave in. Went out with him too many times. We became too physical. I could just kick myself. Here comes the really sickening part. I convinced myself that as long as we didn't have sexual intercourse, I'd still be a virgin. So I did everything else." And here she goes into lurid detail. "I'm so ashamed. I haven't seen him for a year, but lately I've felt overwhelmed with guilt for what I did. I just can't stand it. I know that Jesus died for our sins and that nothing is too awful for him to forgive. I've told him how sorry I am, and I couldn't be sorrier. But I feel as though now I'm not good enough for the right kind of Christian man. Oh, Mrs. Elliot, am I lying to myself to still consider myself a virgin? I feel so filthy. Please help me." You know, Paul speaks of the feelings that come with the flesh, our natural, unregenerate feelings. In Galatians 5, he writes, "Anyone can see the kind of behavior that belongs to the lower nature, fornication, impurity and indecency, idolatry and sorcery, quarrels, a contentious temper, envy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, party intrigues, jealousies." Anybody out there know anything about those things? We've all been there, haven't we? We all know something about every last one of them. And so when somebody says, just go with your feelings, I want to say to that person, what do you do when your feelings cancel each other out? Which ones are we going to go with? When we've once met God, we know there's a war on. We have a lower nature that sets its desires against the spirit. And that poor miserable girl who wrote me that letter wouldn't have even cared how filthy she'd been if it hadn't been for the Spirit of God speaking to her conscience at work in her heart. And I don't suppose you would still have your radio tuned to this station if you were one who, in your heart of hearts, wanted to do the kind of things that she describes, wanted to just go with the feelings that go with the lower nature. I think my listeners must want what Paul calls the harvest of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fidelity, gentleness, self-control. And you can't have it both ways. We're talking about even a miracle doesn't stop our wanting. When I talk about the feelings that go with the lower nature as opposed to the feelings that the Spirit of God can give us, am I saying that a Christian can totally be divested of those feelings that go with the lower nature and somehow or other get completely free of them and go on for the rest of his life exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit? No, as far as I understand Scripture, as long as we live in this fallen world, we are going to be tempted. We are going to be sinners. We're going to need forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And of course, that was the good news that I had to write in reply to the letter from the girl who had so messed up her life that she felt she wanted to kick herself. I can tell her with full assurance of faith, if you confess those sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive you from those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to tell you something to do with your feelings. Some of our feelings are not by any means wrong. Grief, for example, is not a sinful feeling, but it's one that I can't handle. Grief can almost paralyze us, can't it? The feeling of loneliness. Do you know how to handle it? Do you know how to handle bad news? Let me give you just a very simple method which has helped me immensely. I hesitate to prescribe a method for so solemn and vital a spiritual transaction as oblation, the offering up of something to God. God knows your heart, and he will accept your offering in any way that you can make it, I'm sure. But this very simple thing has helped me. It's to kneel with open hands before the Lord, to be silent for a few minutes, putting myself consciously in his presence. think about him. Then think of what I have received in these four categories: what I am, what I have, what I do, and what I suffer. And there are long lists, I think, that each of us could mention under each of those categories: all that I am, all that I have, all that I do, and all that I suffer. But this thing that I want to bring to God now, this feeling which I can't control, visualize it as well as I can. That's what I try to do. As I kneel there before God, open my hands, visualize that thing in my hands, resting in my open hands. I thank the Lord for whatever aspect of this gift I can honestly thank Him for. If not for the thing in itself, then for its transformability, for His sovereignty, for His will, which allows me to have this gift, for His unfailing love, for the promise of His presence in deep waters and hot fires, the pattern for good which I know He's at work on. And then, quite simply, offer it up. Make God's gift to you your oblation to Him. Lift it up in your hands. This is a physical act denoting your love, your acceptance, your thanksgiving, and your trust that the Lord will make of it something redemptive for the wholeness of the body. Kneel down, open your hands, think about God, visualize this thing that you cannot handle, thank Him for any aspect that you can thank Him for, and then offer it up. Now, a word of caution: do not look for dramatic effects. There may be no discernible result. As my dear friend Frank Murray, an elder brother in the Lord, said to me regarding a matter we had prayed about, it's a mistake to measure such things by introspection. God heard and answered. That's all there is to it. Let the answer be manifested in His own time and way.
As Elizabeth has said, anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you.